Okay, this is the second in this summer's series of Shir Man Rav Kook. And I'm trying this year more than last year. Last year I didn't even try at all. But this year I'm trying more to tie it in. The Parsha, it's always good to live with the times. So we'll try to understand a few psukim in the Parsha, but really that's it's so much more beyond that. Kadosh Baruch Hu writes in his Holy Torah and Sefer B'Midbar Perek Lamed Aleph, V'yomer Elazar HaKohen El Anshei HaTzava Habayim L'Milchama Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. When Am Yisrael is going out to battle to avenge the plague that took place because of the Benos Midian. So in preparation for that war, Elazar HaKohen, the son of Aaron, gives a speech to the Anshei Milchama to explain to them a mitzvah of the Torah that has not yet been revealed, despite the fact that they had previously fought other battles. And the Mefarshim discuss that. And the Torah says, "Ach zazav es hakesef es hanachoshes es habarzel es habedil ves haofares." All these different types of metals, gold and silver, copper, iron, all these different types of metals, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'tar ach b'mei nida yischata v'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh tavir b'mayim. Elazar HaKohen tells us the din, as recorded in the Torah, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, that when a Jew goes out to battle and finds spoils of war, specifically finds pots and pans, finds forks and knives, spoons, cups, made out of metals, both precious and otherwise, the Torah commands the Jewish people that there are two processes that they need to undergo. One of those is the process of kashrus. Kol asher yavo be'esh tavir be'esh, anything which was used with fire must be burned with fire. We spoke a little bit about this last year. Kibolo kachpolto, the way that something goes in is the way that it has to come out. If you have a grill which was used with fire and non-kosher meat was burnt into the grill, so then it needs to be burnt out of the grill. A little known fact that if you have ice cream, it goes into a bowl, and that ice cream is completely and totally treif. If you want to eat kosher ice cream in that bowl, the only thing you need to do is wash out the bowl. That's all you have to do. No koshering process, you don't have to pour boiling water over it. If it went in with cold, it comes out with cold. If it goes in with hot water, it comes out with hot water. If it goes in with fire, it comes out with fire. That's part one. So if you find kelim that belong to the Midyanim, so you have to kasher them. And the way you kasher them is kibolo kach polto. The way that it was swallowed up into the vessel is the way that it gets spit out. And secondly, there is a principle that any tamei vessels, any vessels which are tamei, need to be sprinkled with the mei chatas, specifically the ashes of the paraduma as mixed with water and several other ingredients, in order to purify the vessels. From here, Chazal learned that a person is supposed to also dip new vessels in a mikvah, even if they were never used before. Nothing to do with kashrus. The mitzvah of tevilas kelim is learned that from these psukim as well. But really, the mei nida that we're talking about here, the mei chatas that we're talking about here, is the waters of the parah aduma which are used to purify these impure vessels. Presumably, they weren't careful with Tumah Tahara, the Midianim, and therefore when Am Yisrael comes to take these vessels, they need to purify them. They need to ritually purify them so that they are not Tameh, Tumas Meis, and other types of Tumah. Adkan Divrei HaTorah. So comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara says that everybody knows that there are two types of purifying vessels. There's one way of purifying a vessel where a person takes the mechatas and sprinkles the mechatas on the bowl, on the frying pan, on the whatever it is, in order to be metared from Tumas Meis. And then there's a secondary way that a person can be metared vessels. And that is to break the vessel in some way and to put it back together. To bore a hole through the bottom of the metal frying pan so that it can no longer contain substance. It will drain out the bottom. It's not considered a kli anymore. And afterwards to get a ironsmith or a goldsmith or a silversmith, depending on what the vessel is, and after you bored a hole in it and you made it no longer usable, it is no longer functional, then to patch up the hole and to make it functional once again, after which case, at which point, it now becomes tahor once again. Those are the two ways that a vessel can become tahor. So listen to this amazing Gemara, and then Rav Kook is going to sweep us away into a never-never land, which we may never-never want to leave. The Gemara says that Shimon ben Shetach was metakein ksuba li'isha. Okay, we'll see what that... We're not really going to talk about that, even though Rav Kook does, I actually skipped that. I'll put that in parentheses. And what else is metakein? The gozer tuma al kli matachos, and he was gozer a gezeira on metal kalim. We'll have to see what the metal, the gezeira on metal kalim is. In other words, he made a decree that metal kalim are subject to tuma and need to be purified. The Gemara asks, kli matachos daraisa ninhu. What are you talking about? Achas hazav es hakesef. Our pasuk chav beis in this week's parsha. What are you talking about? He was metakein a gezeira about metal kalim. It's a daraisa. Metal kalim that become tameh need to become purified at the mechatas. So the Gemara says, lo nitzcha el tuma yishana. No, the gezeira of Shimon ben Shetach was a gezeira called tuma yishana. In other words, when I take a kli, which is tameh, and I bore a hole in the bottom of it so that it's no longer a functional kli, and therefore the tumma is poreach. It dissipates, it disappears, it runs away from the kli because it doesn't have a shame kli anymore. And then I patch up that kli. As soon as I patch up that kli, something called tumma yishana, a new thing Shimon ben Shetach invented. Tumma yishana means that tumma which left when the kli was once dysfunctional, not usable, returns when the kli becomes functional again. So that the only way that a person can be metaher, this kli, is with the meichatas, is with the sprinkling of the para aduma ashes mixed with water that is used in the purifying process of the dead. How do we know that that's exactly what the gzer of Shimon Shetach was? The Amr Bihuda Amar Rav, listen to this story. Maisa b'shel tzion hamalka, there's a story with shel tzion hamalka. She'asta mishta l'bna, she made a party for her son. Vinitma kol keleha. Something went very wrong at the party, and somebody died at the party. And all of the kelim that were there at the party became tame. Ushvart them, and she broke them. Vinaslan letzorif, and she gave them to a metal worker, to a smolder. Virischan, and he boiled them up and put them back together. And they made kelim chadashim out of these broken kelim. Their tuma was reinstated. My time. What's the reason? Mishum geder mechatas naguba. Because they were afraid that if everybody used this cheap trick, people would forget about the mechatas. People would forget about this concept of the par aduma ashes and the water. And they would forget that such a thing exists for Tumas Meis of a human being who you can't bore a hole in and start over again. And therefore Shimon ben Shetach made a decree, he made a gzeira, that any time a kli becomes tamei, it can only become tahor when you sprinkle it with the mechatas. You can't bore a hole in it and start over from scratch. This is the Gemara. This Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis is the launching pad for a beautiful, deep, enlightening paradigm shifting piece from Rav Kook. Rav Kook here is talking about the inyan of tshuva, as he often was. One of the topics that Rav Kook came back to over and over again in different svarim, not just in Oros HaTshuva, and how a person self-actualizes. How does a person bring themselves to change in a way which is meaningful, which is deep, and which is lasting? So Rav Kook says the following. Rav Kook writes, Klal Inyan HaTuma. Rav Kook writes that an understanding of the general notion, principle, of tuma, of spiritual pollution, and the way that one purifies oneself from it, are certainly bound, this general notion of tumah and tahara, are certainly bound to a proper appreciation for the chesronos, the deficiencies, and the magaros, the drawbacks that are found in the world, b'chol sugav, in various different ways. U'ba'adam b'nafsho gufo v'netiyosav b'yichud. And in specifically in particular, in the soul and the body and in the inclinations of man, v'hadrachim shebehem yis'ala hakol v'yitar mikol ra ha-musa ma'achshav aleim kemasa la'ayifa. And the methods, the drachim, the methods, shebehem yis'ala hakol v'yitar mikol ra ha-musa ma'achshav aleim kemasa la'ayifa. The methods through which everything could be elevated and purged of this tumah that weighs upon a person kamasa ayifa, like a tiresome burden, like a tiresome load. If a person wants to understand the secret of tumah and tahara, and wants to understand how a person moves from a state of tumah, of spiritual pollution, to then purge oneself and purify oneself to a state of tahara, of perfection, so we need to understand the deficiencies that a person can be beset with, the world in general, and man, mind, body, and soul. And then we need to understand that there are various different ways that a person can deal with those deficiencies. I'll give you a practical example in a moment, but let's just read two more lines from Rav Kook. There are two ways, says Rav Kook, that a person is able to deal with previous evil that existed in their life. Whether it's an inborn character trait, something that they're born with, whether it's bad decisions that they made, whether it's something which was self-imposed, whether it's something which was imposed by others. All of those evils that exist in a person's life, all those ra'os ha'ovah, the evils of the past, they need to be refined. Vasher hara hanimzag bedarkei achayim uholich umispashit lefi erech achilek shunota b'hem. Those previous evils, which, if not for a person's very strong action, will necessarily, says Rav Kook, mispashit, will separate, will go, will spread forth. In accordance with the amount that evil that existed in your life before has launched its attack on you, has lynched its teeth into you, and refuses to let go, there are two different ways that a person can deal with those things. It's yadua that Rav Kook, in his home, had two pictures. He had a picture of the Vilna Gaon and he had a picture of the Baal Tanya in his dining room right next to each other. Rav Kook was a unique synthesis on his mother and his father's side. One a Misnagid, one from Hasidish background. His father from the Misnagid tradition, his mother from the Hasidic tradition. And there's no doubt here that Rav Kook is drawing, as we'll see in a moment, from the tradition of Chabad. Which is really, this idea that I'm going to say in a moment, really goes back earlier than Chabad. But they really worked on this a lot. that there are two ways that a person can do tshuva. There are two ways that a person can deal with evil in their life. And again, that evil means everything. It means, as I said before, predispositions, it means nurture, it means nature, it means my own bad decision making, it means everything. How does a person deal with evil in their life? So, there are two ways in the Chabad literature, and Rav Kook is certainly drawing from that here. But in order to fully appreciate Rav Kook, let's just define these two terms. I'm sure you've heard of them before. Some of you. One of them is called Iskafya. Iskafya from the word kafoy, which means force. And the other is Ishafcha, which means from the word hepech, to turn over, to flip around. What do they mean? Iskafya means that one way of dealing with evil is that if there's something that's negative in my life, whether it's a negative character trait or it's a negative experience, so the way to deal with that is iskafya, which means repression, to repress it, kafoy, to force it down, not to allow it to rear its ugly head. Every time it tries to attack, every time it tries to sway me to do something negative, I have to push it down, I have to push it to the floor. Don't allow it to rise up. And that's one way of dealing with evil. But there's a second way of dealing with evil, and these are not mutually exclusive. There are times and places for each of these. The second way is called ishafcha, which means that a person doesn't just push down, doesn't just repress the evil, doesn't repress the negativity, doesn't repress the bad character that he has, but rather is mishapich. The person takes that negative energy and redirects it. Instead of repressing it, redirects it and flips it for good. As I said before, this is found extensively in the Chabad literature, but it's not only in the Chabad literature. Rav Tzadok talks about this all the time, that a person who suffers with deep passions that drive him in a negative direction can redirect those passions towards tefillah, towards Torah. And Rav Tzadok writes all over the place that your greatest weakness is your greatest strength. You just have to learn how to channel it properly. But that's only if you're using ishafcha. If you're being kafwe, if you're repressing that energy, then there's no way for it to come out in a positive way. Granted, you dealt with it, but you didn't harness that energy to do something great with it, to change your life with it, to change the world with it. So Rav Kook says that there are two ways of dealing with negativity. Listen carefully. Way number one. Yeshna hashkafa achas shetaskim levatel la'abed bebas achas starim arukim yeshenim shebehem nishrash hara ve'akilpo. There's one hashkafa, there's one outlook, one way of looking at things. Shetaskim levatel la'abed bebas achas, that in one fell swoop agrees to nullify and to destroy bebas achas. To destroy the old arrangement, the old deal that you had, the old way of doing things, the old order, and to impose a brand new order. Destroy from the root, completely annihilate the old arrangement, Shebehem Nishrash Harava Akilko, that gave rise to the ability for this evil, for this mistake, to be rooted in your soul. Whether it came there before you were born or after you were born. To uproot it from the core. Ulivnos me'achomer avar binyanim chadashim. And to build a new structure with the raw materials that you burnt to the floor. Burn it down and start over. Knock it down and start over. Zat zir yeshno bo'olim bechlelo. This way of dealing with things, this model, this archetype, exists in the world in general, bechlalo, umagia gam kein ad pratius ba'adam. It also exists in the human being. In other words, some people deal with this, it exists in the world. In the world, when there's a building which is so rotten to the core, so the way that nature deals with it, it's something called entropy. The building will end up falling to the floor, and then what will go in its place? I don't know, it'll rot, and that rotting will cause, will mix together with other things, and maybe through the minerals and the things which are being mushed around in that mulch pile where there used to be a building, maybe other plants will grow, maybe something else will grow in its place. That exists in the world, that structure. Knock the whole thing down and start over again. It also exists in the human personality. That's how some people deal with things. A person finds within himself or within herself a very deep-seated evil that has been rooted over and over again inside the personality of said person. So some people think, you know what's a good idea? I'm going to crush kasis, right? Kasis. If you ever went shopping in Israel, so you know that they have shum kasis, which means crushed garlic. You get fresh crushed garlic. You buy it in the supermarket. So you crush yourself. Crush your body. Crush your soul. Starve yourself. Don't eat. And torment your soul in order to arrive at a brand new you. Some people might think like that. Until his energy, his strength, his potentials become weakened and become pained. With this weakening of his condition, with this shvira, with this breaking of all of his kochos, hello yishbru kochos harava hefsim. Certainly he could be sure that since he's knocking the whole thing down, so even the negative part will also fall down. Rachman al-Tzlan, and our words of Torah should be Refuah Shleima for Moshe Tzuvim for the Simcha, my brother. Yeah. Rachman al-Tzlan, when a person goes through a difficult thing like that, so what do? They knock down the whole system so that it can rebuild good. That's how they deal with it. That's only for very dire circumstances. To really strike out at the body and the soul in order to fix a spiritual malady. And then what happens? It knocks down the good and the bad together. Halo yishvu kochos harava hefsed, and then the bad goes away. V'shuv yashuv livnos, and then a person can return with a steady mind, and he could build a binyan hagun, beseder hagun. He could build with a proper order and with a proper structure, and he could lay out the plans. Al pi darkei tzedek haTorah v'haMitzvos, and he could say, you know what? The previous model was no good. Knock it out completely, and start over. If this exists in the world in some general form, it is a practice. We have it in medicine, we have it in architecture, we have it in many different facets in the world. If this was the general practice, if this was the go-to method of dealing with difficulties in our lives, we would destroy everything. There'd be nothing left of the world. Because every time there was a weakening of the condition of the building we lived in, we just knock the whole thing down and start over again. Every time a marriage didn't work, every time a relationship didn't work, a friendship went sour, instead of dealing with it in the second way, which we'll see in a moment, just knock the whole thing down. And what would be left of the world? B'shvila oshek v'hamarutza v'anevalos asher shvishu shasheyim v'kerev amina anoshi. When we think about all of the oshek, all of the thievery and the merutza, all of the self-centeredness and the nevalos, the disgusting, lowly behavior that has crept in at various times and in various ways into the human condition, into the min ha-noshi, into the human species. So we would think that if this is the derech that we're supposed to approach shortcomings, just uproot the whole thing, knock the whole system down, so then the whole world, with all of its oppression and all of its self-centeredness and all of its disgrace, would have been destroyed a long time ago. We would have destroyed ourselves, because every time there's a shortcoming, we would have knocked the whole thing down. Judah mentioned before that even the title reminded him a little bit of something that we learned last year, and a little bit it does. It reminds us of what we learned last year about this whole Inyan. I think we had a shiur called The Beauty of an Ugly Past. How people generally, and as someone who is a little bit older than you, but not that much older than you, I can still remember something that I myself struggled with, and certainly I had friends who struggled with it. dealing with that balance, a person comes back from a year or two in Eretz Yisrael, and dealing with that balance of, what do? I knock down entirely the old me? Do I get rid of all of the old me? The old me was into X. And I have to throw that out. Because the old me also didn't wake up for davening on time. Or also wasn't so careful with how I spoke about other people. Wasn't so careful with Lashon Hara. And therefore, the only way to deal with that is I have to destroy completely the old me. Now, that's a very functional way of dealing with things on one level. It's a quick fix. It works very nicely. Throw out the old me and superimpose this new me, which is a better me, which is a happier me, which is a more productive me, which is less wasteful me, which is a more sensitive me. And all of those things are certainly beneficial to myself and to the human race. But Rav Kook says, if you look carefully at that way of acting, if you look carefully at that way of acting, you see that it's like all quick fixes. And as we know, all quick fixes don't last for a very long time. If you really want to fix something deeply, it needs to take time to heal. It needs to take time to build. Then a person can do something in a real way. So there's an alternative. Rav Kook suggests that there's an alternative. The alternative is Amnam Adon Kol Amasim Hu Av HaRachmim. However, the master of the world is a merciful father. He doesn't want the whole world to be destroyed. V'uchas mila'abed kol yitzir pachos v'kol koach ha-metzius. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hesitant to destroy even the smallest creation and the smallest force that exists in his world. For some reason, this brought to mind the Maisa at the end of Sefer Yonah. At the end of Yonah, when Yonah sits under the Kikayon, he sits under that little plant. Yonah is loath to go and to rebuke the people of Nineveh because he's afraid that they're going to do tshuva and it's going to make the Jews look bad, because how many times has the Navi told the Jewish people to do tshuva over and over again and we didn't exactly listen? And then the Navi goes and tells the people of Nineveh do tshuva, and in 3 seconds they have a complete turnaround. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Yonah in his distress and grows a little plant that grows quickly, a kikayon, and it provides shade for Yonah. And after a mere evening together with Yonah, this kikayon begins to shrivel in the sun. And Yonah begs Hashem and says, what are you doing? Why are you destroying the kikayon? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to him, some small plant that you get a tiny bit of pleasure from, and you're so distraught, you didn't even plant it. You didn't do anything to harness the power of this plant. I brought it and I'm destroying it. And you're so bothered by that. How do you think I feel, says the Kodesh Baruch, when the smallest of my creations is destroyed, let alone the entire nation of Nineveh? So of course I want them to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Kook, is hesitant to destroy even the smallest of his creations, to destroy even the kikayon, both Jews and non-Jews alike. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see destruction, and therefore a merciful Father in heaven offers us another path. Rav Kook has many parallels to this idea. Specifically, if you've ever read Oris HaTshuva in the very first chapter, when Rav Kook talks about gradual tshuva versus sudden tshuva. Sudden tshuva is of the first type that we were talking about. It happens the bas achas. A person knocks down the building and starts over from scratch. As opposed to gradual tshuva, which is what we're about to talk about right now. Therefore, only in a case, only in a situation where there is no other option, in such a case, does Hashem send forth this mida of destruction, blazing, a burning, the chala, an annihilation. Avladerech atmidi. But the slow and steady path, the constant path. You know, like, sorry to borrow from such a mundane example, but you know, like, there are certain types of, I don't really know what I'm talking about, maybe the ladies know more than the guys. There are certain types of shampoos that are like, they're like quite a cocktail of things to put in your hair. And it says like, you know, you use this like once a week. And then the other thing says like safe for everyday use. I mean safe for everyday use. It means like if your hair is color treated or it has all the other things, you could use this every day and it's a constant, steady, you could use this every day and it'll be okay. As opposed to these other things, you know, they have like these like other things, Baruch Hashem. Before I got married, I sat down with my sister-in-law. She was the first girl in the family, three boys. And I said, okay, show me all these things that I need. That she took out, I'm not even kidding, she took out all her makeup bags and showed me what bronzer is and what foundation is and what that crazy thing that you put on your eyes and you like rip out your eyeball with, you know what I'm talking about? The girls know what I'm talking about. Right? Just so that your eyelashes will curl and it looks like a torture device. So she showed me all these things. So they have all these things, right? They have these, there are certain types of facial creams that you can't use every day, your face will burn off. And there's only like once a week or once a month or something like that. And then there's other things which are safe for everyday use. If Cook is saying that there are certain times when you need the hardcore stuff. There are times in the world where we need derech harishon, that first way, burn it down and start over. It's rotten to the core, burn it down and start over. But if Cook says there's also the everyday medicine, there's the constant medicine which is safe for everyday use and will also get you there. And in fact, is deeper and is more potent in a certain way than its predecessor, than the first one. Haderech ha-tmidi hu-letakein, listen to these beautiful words, he's so beautiful, Lirach Kuk writes. Aval haderech ha-tmidi hu-letakein b'savlanut, I said b'savlanus. Rav Kook would say that the everyday way, safe for everyday use, is to fix with great patience and great care, be'orach hazman, with the passage of a long time, u'berachamim rabim, and with great abundant mercy, as hamagaros, to deal with those shortcomings slowly but surely, be'ofen shagama kochos harayim, lo ya'abdu min ha-metzios. It's true. You will not completely destroy and annihilate and burn down the negative aspect of your personality, but you'll get something much deeper and much better. You'll get something called ishafcha. You'll have the ability to not just destroy the negativity within you, and granted it takes a longer time. Granted it's not going to be as quick, it's not the basachas, it takes a long time to use this method. It doesn't happen in a single year, Shana Aleph. It happens over a long period of time. And the way that a person deals with this is with great patience and with great understanding. But what you get at the end is that you don't destroy the evil, you harness the evil and you can use it for good. Hanatiya haniras banhaga elukis. The divine tendency, hanhaga elukis, the natiya that we find, that tendency that we find, HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors. To make use of even the most lowly of character traits, even the most shafel, hayoser shafelos, and to use those for a purposeful benefit, for something that is tachlis, for something that could be used to benefit society instead of just repressing it and hiding it away and shunning it. That tendency of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the same tendency, he odida. That tendency is what encouraged, what gave, was me'odeid, was what pushed on the heart of, now we're coming to back to the Gemara, pushed on the heart of Shimon ben Shetach, lishtamish b'koach pachos, v'niklo tachlis nalav niskav. This is what pushed the heart of Shimon ben Shetach to create this gezeira, that a person is only allowed to deal with Tumah through the Mechatas, through the sprinkling of the ashes of the Parah Adumah mixed with water, and not to destroy the Kli and to rebuild it again. Listen to this. Tahara satuma shidikeil. Omnam efsha yede shivrasa. While it's true that purification in impurity that exists in kelim, in vessels, is possible by impairing the vessel, by destroying the vessel, by putting a hole through it. And certainly, when we consider that the impurity of a vessel dissipates, disappears, it becomes nullified. When the shimush, when the ability to use that vessel becomes nullified, the tumah also dissipates from that vessel. Tumah can only rest on something which is a usable, functional entity. And therefore, when the kli is destroyed, the tumah is destroyed. In hachanami, that's true. And the same thing is true of all negative character traits which tumah tends to cling to. By utterly destroying it, it will become purified because it doesn't exist anymore. When a person takes their predisposition towards music, which maybe was used in an unhealthy way when they were in high school, or their predisposition towards sleep, or eating, or any taiva, or any kina, or any kavo that exists in the world, and they destroy it, they uproot it completely, in hachanami, you dealt with that evil. It doesn't exist anymore. Vadei b'shvira chaluta yitaru, through an utter destruction, you have purified it. Amnam shvira chaluta ta'abidas kochos harayim me'amitzios, but that's exactly the point. You destroy those kochos haros from mitzios ha'ola. They no longer exist in the world. Nesatovim gam kein tachlish betakte. And in doing that, you weaken and minimize the possibility for good. V'chein v'sidrei achayim shel achevra. The same thing is true in a communal sense, in a cultural sense. Rav Kook is clearly here addressing those of his detractors who felt that the way to deal with Jews who were maybe not following in the footsteps of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov 100%. People who were driven towards social and national values which maybe only faintly held any resemblance to the true nature, the true character of the Jewish people. Rav Kook said there's two ways to deal with those people. One way is to reject them and to repress them and to destroy them and to undermine them. And that's a derech. That's not a derech of geula. A derech of geula is to harness that negative energy and to use them to build Eretz Yisrael. To teach them and to show them to be mishapich the evil into something positive. Because it was real evil. It was real evil, but real evil could yield real good. Could yield real purity. And therefore, v'sedra achayim shel achevra, in the cultural sense as well, hama'abed, the destroyer, the one who wants the quick fix, v'shoif laharis v'zaf al manasa takin b'chipazon, the one who wants to destroy and to dismantle in anger, to uproot in anger, zaf, yabid rafsu, he ends up losing a lot of good. He ends up losing a great potential, which is brimming just beneath the surface. A bit further. Roshem God, amazing, no? Roshem Godol b'har chakum yizeh aderech shal pachas kemayim nimpsa v'gzeras tuma yishana. This Roshem Godol, this great impression was made, this idea was taught and reinforced in the world with the introduction of the decree of Shimon ben Shetach's retroactive tuma. This was what was created in the gzera of tuma yishana. L'man lo yezeh derech ha-murgal etar min ha-tumos ayud yishviras kol ha-kli bitul v'shimsho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the agent, through the proxy of Shimon ben Shetach, made it clear to the world, my preference is not the way of destruction. My preference is not, even though it's a valid way of fixing, my preference is not to bore a hole through the kelim to destroy the functionality of the kelim, so that when you put it back together, it will then become tahor again. My preference is not those teachers in the world who choose to try to break their Talmidim and Talmidos instead of working with them to show them the depth and the beauty that they have inside of them. That's not the Derech of Gula. Even though it's true, you can create, it is possible, although it's getting increasingly more difficult to, it is possible to create a new vessel, to change the student, to change the nature of the person, or in the simple sense, to create a new kli that is tahor. But you're risking the possibility that you broke that kli legamre, and that you won't be able to put it back together. Only a very, very skilled teacher, only a very, very skilled matzrif, is going to be able to put the pieces back together again. Most of the time, and I can tell you from first-hand accounts, most of the time, you end up with a case that looks much worse than Humpty Dumpty. You can't put it back together again. The person is broken for the rest of their life, because they had a teacher who told them, you're never going to be anything. Instead of saying you could be so much more than you are. La'abid kelim b'shvil atumah shvehem al-asamach levnosam kitzura chadasha kim tahar. That's not the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiim, rather, taharas mechatas hu asa darku b'mesinus. Yeah, it takes more time. Yeah, you can't just crack the thing in half and then put it back together again. Yes, you need to have a sprinkling that takes place on the third day. You have to count 3 days, and there has to be a sprinkling, and you have to count another few days. On the seventh day, you have to sprinkle again. There has to be Har of Shemesh. There's a whole process. It takes time. It's not a one-shot deal. It's much more arduous. The task is time-consuming. It's not a quick fix, but when it's not a quick fix, it lasts. Mitaharis es atmei mitzad haskama. This type of tahara from Tumah, which comes with the miracle of the mechatas, where a person sprinkles the water on the kli, the gradual tshuva takes time. In reality, is a person being machnia themselves, humbling themselves to the divine will, which is both hidden and concealed from all people who are seeking it. Me'in kol tzofa. As we come to the end, when I'm derech atikon holy chudarko la'ato, it may be true that this derech is more la'at la'at. It takes more time. It's more subtle. It's more gradual. Yan shu einenu ma'abed es hakochus ha'yishonim. Since you're not just destroying, you're not just lighting a torch underneath the previous model that you had. B'shvil lehevi eiza tikunim nechutzim. In order to bring about real change. Sorry to skip a little. Yanshu enenu ma'abed es kochus ha'yishanim im starehem ki im ma'hafcham l'tovo l'vrach. Granted, you're not destroying it, but maybe you could be ma'hafich it for good and for blessing. V'asher v'kol koach ha'yoser shafal u'mishtamish la'aliyasa li'yoser l'sayid l'dvarim kadoshim v'ne'elah. The more something is shafel, and a person works at it slowly and patiently, the more he could bring it to the tzad ha-yoser Torah. We see this with mechatas itself. You see the idea? With a kli, boring a hole in it, the destructive path, is enough to fix kelim. You can't fix people like that. You know why? Because it's not as strong. Tumas misa can only be fixed through the mechatas. It takes time. Ba'ara shemetaheres afilu tumas mes. It's a ha'ara, it's an illumination which can even battle the most heinous of all tumas misa, the fear of death itself. kilomer shema ve'eretz shizgale lifneinu or olam kazeh v'sidri chayim ka'ileh shenaskil shagam echasronus harayim shehim gormim hamavis v'hefzid gam ken yitar. With the appreciation that even that, those character traits which cause death, which bring death to the world, all negative character traits stem from the achilas eitz hadas, which is the source of death in the world. And where can we find such a thing? Where can we find a parallel example of the ability to literally turn death into life? The mechatas, which is metayer the tamei. Where can we find a parallel example in the way of destruction? The kama mesukan hu aderech shel ahiros hastarim hayeshanim v'charvasim b'shvil lehevi eizet tikunim nechutzim. How dangerous is the path of a person who attempts to take the approach of he who knocks down the old and tries to build up the good suddenly in order to bring about some small tikkun. Ki be'espashet minhag kazeh yakamu machavam kol az panim v'chol rik u'poches. When a person takes this path, then any fool, any dangerous, brazen person can come and claim that he is doing the will of God, knocking down the old. It takes a gentle person, it takes a deep person, it takes a strong person to be able to bring about the second way. To knock other people down, how do you know what you're doing is really good? Maybe you're destroying, maybe you're not building. The second way, which is this gradual type of tshuva, takes great power, great planning, great patience.
To
the point that the tahara, which the Torah so desperately wants for us, the self-actualization, the purity of spirit, that the Torah so desperately wants for each and every one of its children, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for every single boy and every single girl, for every single man, for every single woman. That tahara which HaKadosh Baruch Hu so desperately wants for his children will remain elusive if every fool and every upstart who wants to jump and destroy everything in its path that doesn't exactly fit the specifications of the perfection that he assumes is necessary for the world. Mishum geder mechatas naguba. It's because of this that people would forget that there's such a thing as gradual tshuva, which actually brings life from death, via the Mechatas that Shimon ben Shetach introduced this concept of Tomi Yishana. Lahashrish yafe yafe kamanu chayvim lahazir shiederech atikun b'shmiras kol davar ha'omed u'b'achzar l'tova l'tahara kol rav v'kol tumu mitzad ha'koach ha'tzafun v'anela. It's in order to be mashrish, to deeply enroot very, very well, yafe yafe, how obligated we are to be careful with this derech atikun, to be shomer the derech atikun, to make sure that it's not a way of destruction, but it's a way of gradual building. The way that Mashiach is coming is through gradual stages of building and sensitivity. The koltumu mitzad koach atzafun v'anelam ba'amki geniza shel Torah b'derech shalom v'emes. This way, which is a way of seeking out that which is hidden, the hidden depths which are buried in the ways of Torah, which are darkei shalom ve'emes, darchei adarchei noam v'chol nesilos ha'ashal. It's the way of Torah which is pleasant, which is gradual, which is not a sudden, abrasive change, but is a gradual change over the course of a person's life to bring about the tikkun. We've shared this story before, but we'll share the story again to close. The story which was shared by the tzaddik of Simcha Bonim of Pshischa, who was one time traveling with one of his Talmidim through a forest to get to a neighboring town. And as they were passing through the forest, and they passed by, in between the town they were going to, from the town they were coming to, there was a town in between. And the tzaddik was sitting in the wagon together with his chassid, and the chassid started crying. And he was crying, and he said to his Rebbe, if only you knew the terrible averus that I did in this town, you wouldn't even look at me. I wish I could just make all of them go away. I wish I could just destroy all of those averus, completely destroy any memory, any remnant of those averos. Before I met you in that town, Rebbe, you don't know the things that I did. I wish I could just make them all go. Rav Simcha Burnham said to him, Chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila, we're not mevater on a single one of them. As if to say, we're not mevater on that opportunity. We're not going to give up, we're not going to lay down without a fight to recapture every single one of those averas that you did. Because every single avera, through the way of gradual tshuva, will become a crown. Will become a jewel which is placed in the crown of the king. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. There's a long road and there's a short road. The Medrash speaks of a road which begins with kotzim, a derech which is tchilaso kotzim, the sofo mishor, a way which begins with thorns and ends up being mishor, being straight and easy. And then there's a way which is, in the beginning it's easy, but as soon as you get a few feet in, it's all thorns. And it gives a mashal, a story about a young man who was looking for a way to get to a certain town, and he saw an older man, and the older man said, "Trust me, this way looks harder, but after you get a few feet in, past this first little bush, it's straight sail. And you see that path over there that looks like a straight, it looks like someone carved out a beautiful path for you. As soon as you turn around that bend, it's going to be untold disasters. Trust me, take the path which is Trilaso Kotsim, the Sofo Mishor, which is in the beginning is thorns, the Sofo Mishor, but at the end is going to be straight." It's brought down in the Svarim HaKadoshim. And when it says, we say it every day, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish v'atzas Hashem yisakum. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to impart to the human race, to his children, to the Jewish people, that we have a lot of ideas. We have a lot of ideas, and we'd rather go with the quick fixes. We'd rather go with the quick fixes in medicine. We'd rather go with the quick fixes in college. We'd rather go with the quick fixes in our amidos. We'd rather go with the quick fixes and become a Talmud Chacham through some quick fix program. We want to get rich quick. But so many times that's Tchilaso Mishor V'Sofo Kotzen. It starts out smooth, but it ends up very, very bad. Atzas Hashem Hi Takum. The Tzadikim say Takum is Roshei Tevos. Tchilaso Kotzen. In the beginning it's thorny, V'Sofo Mishor. But in the end it becomes straight. In the end it becomes easy. The person takes the path of burning down the house just to start over, it looks easier. It doesn't take as much time to burn down the house. But in the end, you're left with less of a product. You're left with a less productive one. Hashem should give us the strength to recognize that even though Ravos Machshavos B'Lev Ish, we have a lot of ideas, we have a lot of plans, we have a lot of ways we'd like to do things. Atzas Hashem Hitakum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eitza is B'Chilaso Kotzim, B'Sofo Mishor. We should have the courage and the wherewithal to bring about the day. We'll be zochet to see that the difficult journey that Am Yisrael has been taking will soon turn into the Sofo Mishor, into the smooth path, the coming of Mashiach. Amen. Amen.